Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
This is Pat Iyer with Legal Nurse Podcast, and today we're going to be talking about something that affects all of us, whether we are legal nurse consultants or not, whether we're actively working on cases involving the elderly or not, and that's the aspect of how we take care of the elderly people in our country, in our family, in the world. I have with me today Susan Coughlin, who is a registered nurse. She's a geriatric care manager, and she's a legal nurse consultant, and she has both a bachelor's and a master's degree. Susan is joining us today from Virginia Beach, and we met at the AALNC conference last year, and I've been enjoying what I've been learning as I've been talking with Susan and getting ready for today's show. Susan, welcome to the show. I'm really happy you can join us today.
Well, thank you so much for having me, Pat. It's a pleasure to be here on your show, on your podcast this morning.
I know that for some people, the term geriatric care manager is an unknown term. Can you tell us a little bit about what that role encompasses and how you help people?
Sure, and you are right. I find oftentimes that it is a little confusing. Geriatric care management is actually a series of steps that a care manager takes to assist their clients and their families with some of the challenges they may be facing as they age. Now, a care manager is typically a social worker or a registered nurse, clinical licensed social worker or registered nurse, could also be another health and human services professional, such as a gerontologist. But we have a diverse background, which is actually very interesting. I think that's neat. But we all we have a variety of skill sets and diverse background, but it's very interesting and it's a great field. So that's basically what we do.
And in what settings would I find a geriatric care manager?
You would find anywhere you would like us to go. Basically, when we get a call, oftentimes it is from a family member, and we will go wherever that particular aging individual is. Oftentimes it's in their home that they've been in for 50 or 60 years. It could be in a facility oftentimes, and also it could be in the hospital setting. So we meet them wherever they are.
We have a friend who my husband has known since he was about 10 years old, who is rather desperately trying to keep his wife in the home, who has become demented and immobile, and they've got a full-time live-in person. Is that the type of situation where you might be asked to come in and help problem solve, or to help a family say, you know, here are the potential problems that might occur, or if this occurs, let us know, because it's a sign that things are becoming unmanageable?
Mm-hmm, right. And that's very often a call we will receive when things are becoming unmanageable. So yes, that would be certainly a situation that we could come in and help. I can tell you the most common calls we receive as geriatric care managers, oftentimes it's a family member that lives out of the area. Very often it is a daughter, and they will call us. They're concerned about mom or dad. They're noticing some changes, whether it was after the holidays or perhaps after a visit, but they're seeing some changes and they need some help, and they're looking for a geriatric care manager. Very smart for them to do that. Another reason we will often get a call is that there's been a crisis. Now, that could be either a hospitalization or falls, and oftentimes a family member will call us for that during that time as well. Another reason we will get a call very often is the family is looking for assistance with relocating their loved one. And they're looking for some help with that in terms of what exactly is out there, what kind of resources are out there for these aging individuals that are looking for another place to call home.
Mm-hmm. In my husband's friend's case, the children live in California, and the parents live in New Jersey, and the children said, well, you absolutely must put your house on the market and sell it and move to California and live in our three-bedroom house with our kids in an isolated suburban area. And oh, by the way, the freeways out here are very difficult to drive in, so you pretty much are going to be isolated in the house. Doesn't that sound like a wonderful idea?
No, not at all. It's not a good idea at all. In fact, oftentimes when we are going into the home and we are working with the family, first of all, oftentimes they're looking for placement because it's becoming unmanageable and they're feeling stressed. And what we like to do is when we go in and we discuss this with the family, we want to find out exactly what's going on, because sometimes we can actually avoid a move if we put in the right resources. And that's really good if we can do that. Oftentimes, they just need some outside help coming in, and we know the local resources, and everybody wants to stay at home, right? Certainly, that's what everybody's hope is. So we try to, that's our first hope, is that we can keep them and allow them to continue to live right where they are at home, where they want to be.
Mm-hmm.
So when we go into the homes, we are oftentimes providing a consultation. And then we will provide what we do is the next step is we would provide a comprehensive an assessment. So that's the next thing we're going to do is provide an assessment. And then after that, we're going to look at developing a plan of care. And so for nurses, this is second nature. We're looking at what exactly is going on and how can we help. So that's really what the heart of care management is developing a plan of care and working through that plan of care.
Mm-hmm. I would imagine that you encounter some challenges as you are helping families tackle these issues. What are some of the biggest challenges that will create that stumbling block to trying to take out or to carry out that plan of care?
Well, one of the biggest challenges we have as care managers is actually having the client's family is oftentimes very on board with having care management come in, but sometimes the client themselves are not ready for care management, whether they're feeling like they're losing their independence or perhaps it's a loss of control, but oftentimes that's something that we see. And so in that case, we really want to talk to that individual and let them know that we're here to help. We're here to be on their side. And actually we can help them. I think the ironic thing about that is that we can oftentimes help them remain independent. So that's really true. That is the case. That's very much what we're doing. So that's once they understand that, oftentimes they think, oh, that makes sense. Okay. So that's probably one of the biggest challenges we have as care managers, I would say, is that having people become on board with care management.
And it's interesting you said that, because when I talked to my husband about his friend's situation, I said, you know, there are these independent care managers. There's an association for people who function in that role. I went on the website. I found out there were multiple people within this geographic region close to this man's home. He talked to his wife, who was still coherent at that point in her deterioration, and she said, oh, no, I don't want to have anybody come into this house. I don't want anyone to be assisting me. I think there was some part of her brain that felt embarrassed or ashamed. And also the house has been neglected for decades. And there was so much physically that had to be done to make that house safe and livable in, even though they've been living in it, that I have a feeling she just didn't want anyone to see their living conditions. Mm-hmm. But since then, they have hired a handyman who has gone in and fixed a lot of the problems that were plaguing the family for years.
Mm-hmm. And that's a lot of also what care management, we can help with all different types of issues. And in fact, oftentimes we are helping with the household management as well. So we can help them find the resources they need to have people come out and fix their home and do things like that that need to be done. So we address all those issues.
Mm-hmm. It's really a multifaceted role.
Mm-hmm. It really is. We wear many hats, that's for sure.
Then in terms of the timing, you know, one of the things that legal nurse consultants who are working on personal injury cases get involved in, for example, is helping the attorney understand the resources that are available to somebody. Now, we could have a situation where an elderly family is in a car accident and they survive their injuries, but they are definitely not able to assume that complete independent role as they did before. What is the timing in terms of what's the best way for the legal nurse consultant to help the attorney understand about the resources that would be available to this family and how they can be of assistance to the couple, if it was a couple in a car accident, being able to live at home and get the care that they need?
Mm-hmm. Well, and again, that's interesting question. And I think in terms of that situation, certainly a care manager could come in and help with that situation. And we don't know exactly, you're talking about a car accident and potentially the elderly person having some injuries after that. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So it basically, we're looking at, when we are looking, oftentimes the question is, when do you know it's time to have somebody come in and a care manager come in and help? And the answer to that is oftentimes certainly when there's some changes in condition. And in this case, that would be certainly, there'd be an address, we would want to address that and see how they're doing. And when I talk about changes in condition, oftentimes people ask me, well, what kind of changes should I be looking for? And obviously something like that, Pat, is clearly some changes have happened. But what we often see is weight loss and medication management needs, so that they're not taking their medications. Poor hygiene. Mom always prided herself on looking great, and now we're starting to see a little bit of a decline in that. Poor judgment is often something we will see. And sudden changes in the home environment. For instance, if a spouse dies, that's a good time, and they need some help. Certainly if there's been a crisis, and obviously that is the time we get calls quite often, is when there has been a crisis and they ask a care manager to come in and help stabilize the situation.
Mm-hmm. What kind of crisis would you be encountering? What do you have in mind?
Right. It is often falls.
Mm-hmm.
And that is a crisis. And certainly it is a crisis for an elderly person. When they fall, oftentimes they're concerned about falling again. And for that reason, oftentimes they are not mobile as much as they used to, which actually increases the risk for falls even more. Okay. So that's a big one. And obviously some of the other things are the cognitive issues we may see. People start to get concerned with that. Forgetfulness, wandering certainly would be a crisis situation where we want to help that particular individual. So those are some of the examples.
Mm-hmm. Before I continue with the show, I'll share a resource that you'll find helpful in evaluating fall cases. I'm referring to my course called Falls Course, The Impact of Head Injury. I invited nursing experts to participate with me in this course so that you would get the tools you needed to analyze a falls case and with a focus on head trauma. What can this course do for you? First, gain insight and practical tools about how to analyze a head trauma case. You will gain skill in reviewing facts of a fall case and learn from expert witnesses who have reviewed hundreds of cases. You'll learn skills and techniques that you can use immediately. This course is not full of dry theory. It's a fast-paced, comprehensive way to learn practical, useful information. And you can review the course repeatedly. Not only will you be filled with useful information at the end of each session, when you purchase the course, you'll be able to watch the replay and review the transcripts. This course is already available on our new mobile app, BizEdu. You'll be able to access the videos, slides, transcripts, and bonuses right from your smartphone. Our app is ready for iPhones and Android users. You can also watch the course on your desktop computer. Purchase the course at the show notes on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com, or if you're listening to this podcast on your phone, check out the show notes for a button to click for more information. The show notes are on podcast.legalnursebusiness.com. You can use the code LISTENED in the coupon box to get a 25% discount. Our show notes and all of our audio files are also on our app, BizEdu, which you can get, it's a free app, at legalnursebusiness.com/BizEdu. That's BIZEDU. Now let's return to the show. Well, you've been in and out of probably hundreds or maybe even thousands of people's homes. What are some of the biggest issues that you see in those homes?
Biggest issues I see, especially after they've been in hospital and they've been hospitalized, are falls, UTIs, and dehydration. Those are three big concerns right there I see very commonly, people coming home from the hospital and they were admitted for those reasons. Mm-hmm. Other issues I see in the homes are a weight loss, social isolation, depression, safety issues is a big one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I remember that one of the reasons that my grandfather was put in a nursing home was that he would turn on the burners on the stove and then walk away mm-hmm. and forget that they were on. He started doing that in the assisted living facility, and that was one of the factors in moving him from assisted living into a nursing home, is the safety, the judgment. We've heard stories of people who've wandered out of houses in the middle of the night, we being as a legal nurse consultant, and then getting hit by a car or falling downstairs or, God forbid, getting stuck outside in freezing weather. Of course, that's also something that happens when people leave nursing homes, when we call it elopement. Mm-hmm. So those are kinds of the safety issues that I would imagine that you have seen.
I have seen those cases, and certainly the safety, again, always is a concern in terms of that it is very much, we see that quite often. And in fact, one of the things I often will do is I will take the knobs off the stove if that's a situation, because that is something, if someone's still using the stove, you certainly want to make sure that they're not doing that if they're having cognitive issues. I have seen in the past, I took care of a woman years ago, and she actually passed away. She was from smoke. She actually left a pot holder on the stovetop. Mm-hmm. And she died. She was a lovely woman, grandmother, wonderful grandchildren. They take her out every Sunday. But this was a situation where she went to go use her stove and left a pot holder on the stovetop and went to bed. And she, unfortunately, when security got there and the fire department got there, she had already passed. Mm-hmm. This was in a facility, actually. So mm-hmm. that was really scary. So certainly safety, we want to keep them safe. Do mm-hmm. all we can for that.
How did you get interested in serving the older population?
This is interesting. I was in the fifth or sixth grade, and I was reading a social studies book. The chapter was on the elderly. And in this chapter, we talked about how the elderly people in this country, who were once the backbone of society, I remember this exact sentence, once the backbone of society, are now pushed aside. Whereas in other countries, they're seen as having a lot of value and wisdom and dignity. And we talked about these were aging individuals who have fought in wars and have done so much for this country. And I thought to myself, at a young age, it makes me realize how critical it is what we're putting in our textbooks, because that really stuck with me at that mm-hmm. moment. It really did. And I knew that I wanted to do something down the road, and I didn't know what at that time, but I would like to have certainly helped that generation.
Interesting.
Yeah, yes.
And it is true. The elderly are treated very different in different cultures. Mm-hmm. My husband is from India, where the elderly are revered mm-hmm. and put on a pedestal. In fact, we went out to dinner over the weekend. My husband is close to 80. The man in the restaurant who has known us for 15 years, who's 70, bowed down and touched my husband's feet as a sign of respect to my husband, who's 10 years older than him, and my husband touched his head. and I watch this whole ritual, which I've seen many times before. Usually it's young people who touch my husband's feet and bow down. But this guy, with only an age difference of 10 years, clearly saw himself in a younger role, and so did culturally provide the sign of respect to my husband.
Yep, that is very true. You see, it's interesting, isn't it? In fact, I was just at a home a few weeks ago, the woman who with the daughter was, they were from Japan, and the daughter was, it was interesting to just watch her have the, talk to her mom and how much she just respected her and adored her. And certainly plenty of us do that with our parents. We love that, but it's interesting to look at the cultural difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, speaking of the cultural difference and the generational issues, what are some of the challenges that hit the caregivers who've got caregivers in this sense, meaning the children who are responsible for the safety and the care of their parents?
So the caregivers, right, you're talking about the family, which is obviously that it is more often than not, it is the family. The non-paid caregivers, the informal caregivers, the family coming in and helping. So for them, oftentimes they are feeling overwhelmed because not only are they taking care of their own children and they have careers and spouses, they also are now faced with an aging parent. And for them, that can be very physically stressful and mentally stressful. That is one of the biggest, I would say, concerns is that they're feeling very stressed.
Mm-hmm.
That is something very commonly I see. Also, they oftentimes don't know where to go for help, and they're looking for possibly assistance with getting into, like I mentioned earlier, relocating. Also, maybe some outside help coming in, and they're not sure exactly where to go because we have all types of, when we're talking about relocation, we have certainly have all a variety of long-term care options out there. And it can be very confusing for our families. And also we have a variety of caregivers out there. So oftentimes the non-paid caregivers, which are the family members, they need some help and they're looking for some outside help coming in. So that's something that care management can be very helpful as well, as we can help them with maybe looking for those right resources, because caregivers have all sorts of training and we want to make sure that we have the right person going in there to help with that aging individual. So now I'm talking about paid caregivers, but you were referring back to the non-paid caregivers, which mm-hmm. is the family. So this mm-hmm. is something, certainly they're looking for opportunities for respite. Oftentimes they need a break. They need to take care of themselves, really. In fact, we have a variety of, when we provide our assessments as a geriatric care manager, we also have now caregiving assessment tools where we will actually assess how the caregiver is doing. And that can be very helpful too, to make sure that they're managing okay and they're taking care of themselves.
You know, you raise an interesting point, because I think you probably more than me have heard the horror stories about paid caregivers who don't show up, who steal, who are irresponsible. Maybe they're working through an agency, maybe they're hired independently. Do you have any perspective to help us understand how common that is? Because we hear the horror stories, but maybe we don't hear about the other large percentage of people who are dedicated and honest and dependable.
Right. And I think that that's a great point. We have the paid caregivers, oftentimes they are very, as you said, honest, dependable. But then we do get into a situation where we have caregivers, like you said, nightmare situations. But we always encourage to go through a licensed agency mm-hmm. as a geriatric care manager. That's one of what we really would recommend for many reasons. And I would say probably the biggest reason for me, not only because of employment laws and things like that, I can't get to speak too much about that, but certainly because there's some oversight. For care, there is a director of nurses, which I've been, and there are other people that are overseeing the care and the caregivers. So what I would say is oftentimes when there's a caregiver in the home, and it depends on the state and the agency and everything, they can be providing care to an elderly person. And sometimes a nurse or supervisor may not come out for 3 months. I mean, it depends on the state regulations. You know, some smaller agencies will say, I want to send somebody out there once a month, a registered nurse oversee. But sometimes you can go for quite some time without having somebody oversee how things are going in the home. So we're always encouraging the caregivers, when they notice a difference and a change in condition, to certainly notify the agency and notify the nurse, because a month can go by and there certainly can be a change. And sometimes, as I was saying earlier, there's all different levels of caregivers. And some of them have a variety of training, certified nursing assistants, home health aides. We have many different trainings that goes on. So what we want to make sure is they are trained and they know what they're doing, so they can prevent falls, help prevent falls, using proper body mechanics and things like that is very important. For instance, I had a client who I went into the home and the caregiver, there was certainly a change. The family loved this caregiver, but she didn't have the proper training to do transfers. So that was something that we were able to help her with. And that was just basically, she was needing assistance on helping her clients transfer from the wheelchair to the bathroom, to the toilet in the commode. And once we taught her that and she was trained, what a relief that was for her, because she wanted to stay on board and the family wanted her to stay on board. Mm-hmm. But that is one case, but certainly any change in someone's condition, an aging individual's condition, really needs to be addressed for the safety of the elderly person.
And I know that certainly legal nurse consultants who have expertise in home care nursing can be involved in evaluating whether the standard of care was carried out for that caretaker in the home as it relates to the injuries that occurred.
Right.
So I had a legal nurse consulting business that I ran for 28 years, where we got phone calls on a frequent basis on home care cases, and there were medication errors. There was a fire. I remember a woman who fell asleep while smoking and burned herself, and the aide covered it up and the nurse covered it up and didn't report it to anyone, and the woman really needed to be admitted to a burn unit and ultimately was admitted. And when the rescue squad came in, they couldn't believe that her whole body from her neck down to her hips was burned.
Oh my goodness.
Cases of a woman who, an aide who took a job in a hospital to become an employee of the hospital, but she wanted to go through orientation while she was still assigned to take care of a person at home. So she asked her friend, who had no training, to go in and take care of the woman, and the woman developed a pressure sore in the 2 weeks that this aide was in the hospital signing in as if she was taking care of the woman. I better stop. I mean, I could go on and on with.
I bet you could. And I do have some, we've had some situations, certainly. For instance, I had a case where there was a legal case I'm familiar with, because I actually reviewed the case, where there was 24-hour care in place in the home for a gentleman, a young man who had, he had cerebral palsy, and he had a roommate. And for whatever reason, the caregiver, the evening caregiver, did not show up. And there were all sorts of issues. We're not sure exactly what happened, but basically there was a fire, and he died, and his roommate died. They were unable to get out. And so that I can imagine you must have many cases, mm-hmm. but that's one case that comes to my mind.
So has the field brought you the joy and the promise that you expected when you were that grade school kid reading about the care of the elderly?
It has brought me a lot of joy. What we do when we are in the homes is so important. We are actually helping our clients age in place, and we are looking back at going back to that plan of care and what is in that plan of care. All sorts of things are happening that we're doing behind the scenes, and obviously with the family's agreement to help that aging individual. So that is a great feeling for anybody that's in care management. I have, in fact, I can think of an individual. We took care of both the wife and this individual. The wife had passed away, and we were still in there taking care of this elderly man. He was a World War II vet. And he loved his home and he wanted to stay in his home. And so we were doing everything we could to help that happen. He would sit at his kitchen table. We have him sitting at his kitchen table with his coffee and the newspaper. He was well into his dementia. He could no longer even read the newspaper. And it was such a fulfilling service for all of us to know that we were helping him stay at home and be where he, around his four walls, where he's had been for 60 years, and helping him just age in place. And that was a great feeling that he was loved to ballroom dance with his wife. And so we had the grandchildren make a tape, ballroom dancing, and he would love to listen to that. And the caregivers would dance with him in the afternoon. So it's amazing. Music therapy can be a wonderful part of care management. And that was just a great feeling to know that we helped him all the way up till the end to stay in his home. And a variety of resources, as you can imagine, were put in place for that to happen. But we really enjoyed it. So that was great joy. And in fact, I can share a story with you. This particular individual, who was a World War II vet, there was a change in his plan of care on a Saturday. And I had gone over to the house to review the plan of care and look at the medications and review things with the caregiver. And by then, his name was Jack. At this point, Jack was very well into his dementia. He hadn't spoken in quite some time. He needed queuing throughout the day, hands-on assistance with everything. And it was really, he was, like I said, well into his dementia. But the caregiver and I were reviewing the care plan, and he was sitting in his recliner. And he sat up, and he cleared his throat, and he said, "That must be Susan." And I thought, that was a gift to me, because we both couldn't believe it. I couldn't wait to go back and tell the son. His son said that made his son feel so good. And he said, "I know that my dad knows he's being cared for, and he hears more than we probably sometimes think." Mm-hmm. And so that was a great moment for me, because reaching into the home and making a difference for these people and helping them just live at home and the lives that they've lived, in fact, are extraordinary, some of them. And when they pass, oftentimes I look at the obituary and I think, oh my goodness, some of them are so humble. They don't share oftentimes the lives they've lived. But to me, in fact, that was the greatest generation, as Tom Brokaw, right, coined that phrase. And I'm seeing that age pass now. And that's the age group, the generation that I have cared for. And so as they pass, and many of them already have, they grew up through the Great Depression, they served World War II. And it was just an incredible, incredible, joyful time to be able to serve that generation and their spouses. They have the sense of humor, the English language, you know, crossed their I's and dotted their T's, and it was just incredible. And they certainly reminded me to keep my sense of humor, as this can be a very serious business, but also I was oftentimes very reminded by them to keep my sense of humor. So it was really very, brought me a lot of joy.
I'm laughing because I just finished a book called 52 Writing Trips, and I included in the acknowledgments a dedication to my parents, who were from that generation, who taught me to speak very precisely, always using the correct word, not fouling up my grammar. That was very important. We called that the grammar patrol, and that was a hallmark in our family, which I then passed on to my children, who are both articulate.
Mm-hmm. Very good.
Couldn't get away with sloppy speech in my household.
That is very good. Excellent.
Well, let's finish up, Susan, by telling our listeners how they can find out more about you and the services that you offer. And I think if you could also include how you use your geriatric care manager background in working with attorneys, that would be useful to our listeners as well.
Okay, well, let me start off first by saying that I'm a member of the Aging Life Care Association, and that website is Aging Life Care Association, ELCA, aginglifecareassociation.org. I can be reached through Susan, my email, Susan Coughlin, Susan@seniorcaresolutionsllc.com. You can also find more information about me on the Aging Life Care Association website. Also on that website, if you're looking for an expert in your area, and I think you mentioned this earlier in the podcast, Pat, that you can find an expert by clicking on that link on the website. And there's many experts in the areas nationwide, really, that have a diverse background. So certainly that is a great resource for you. And what I do is everything, hopefully by now you understand, we wear many hats, but I, as a care manager, I am really big into fall prevention. For me is a big one. And all the other things we've talked about during this podcast, certain thing I can help in a variety of ways with, you asked about the attorneys too, right? And how I can help them. A lot of times they're looking at someone who can look at if there's been a deviation in the standard of care, whether it's in a skilled nursing facility or assisted living facility, or in the home. And oftentimes we have clients that are falling out of their wheelchairs and having accidents. I've seen that, having falls at home requiring hospitalization. So that is probably where I could be most useful, is when there's been any type of elder mistreatment of any sort, that or neglect of some sort. I would certainly be a good resource for that.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Susan. I have enjoyed our conversation this morning. And for our listeners, you've been talking to Susan Coughlin this morning. You've been listening to Susan Coughlin and I talk about some of the challenges associated with the care of the elderly at home. It is something that affects all of us with aging parents. And it also may affect us in the future with our generation of people who need to be kept safe in our homes. Thank you for being a part of this program and listening to the show. And we will be back next week with a new show. Be sure to tell your legal nurse consultant colleagues about Legal Nurse Podcast. And if you haven't already done it, download our app, which is BizEdu, which you can get at legalnursebusiness.com/BizEdu, BizEdu. That's where we keep all of our podcasts, our articles, our courses, our free reports, all kinds of information you can put in the palm of your hand. Be sure to invest in our falls course to sharpen your analysis of these kinds of cases. You'll see the button on the show notes for this podcast. Go to podcast.legalnursebusiness.com and check the show notes. Or get our new mobile app, BizEdu, by going to legalnursebusiness.com/BizEdu. And I've got a phenomenal resource for you just waiting on legalnursebusiness.com. My online training and books are designed to help LNCs discover ways to strengthen their skills and their businesses. Check them out at legalnursebusiness.com. Many of us are lifelong learners who enjoy the chance to keep expanding our knowledge, just like the Book of the Month clubs, my membership site, lnceu.com, gives you 2 online trainings every month. We have a yearly payment plan that saves you over $50 compared to paying monthly, and each program is hugely discounted. Look at the options at lnceu.com. And my last website, the lncacademy.com, is the coaching program I offer to a select number of LNCs. You get my personal attention and mentorship so that you can excel and build a strong foundation for your LNC practice. Get all the details at lncacademy.com.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.